Hello, and thank you for listening to Why Pray. I am your host, Nisha. And on this episode, we are learning about God's authority from Charles Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. We will also be learning about scriptures that can help us with today's topic in gaining courage in our daily life against fear. We will also be praying together for courage at the end of this episode. So let's get started. Let's just take a moment to inhale. Exhale. And say, thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment to do that again. Inhale. Exhale. And say, thank you, Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? Today's show topic is courage. But before we go into using the scripture to help us gain courage, and before we pray together for courage, we must first understand God's authority and how to approach Him in prayer. Understanding God's authority is very important. Charles Spurgeon gives us on page 13 of his book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, the three mortal wounds for a Christian's doubt, their doubts about prayer, that I'll be reading from pages 13 through 16. It states, first then our Savior gives to us the weight of his own authority. I say unto you, the first mark of a follower of Christ is that he believes his Lord. We do not follow the Lord at all if we raise any questions on points about which he speaks explicitly. Even if a doctrine is surrounded by 10,000 difficulties, the fact that the Lord Jesus said it sweeps them all away, so far as true Christians are concerned. Our Master's declaration is all the argument we need. I say unto you, is our logic, reason. We see you at your best in Jesus, for he is made wisdom to us by God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. We cannot err. We cannot lie. If he says, I say unto you, there is an end of all debate. However, there are certain reasons that should lead us to rest all the more confidently in our Master's word upon this point. There is power in every word of the Lord Jesus, but there is special force in the utterance before us. It has been objected about prayer that it is not possible for prayer to be answered because the laws of nature are unalterable. And they must and will go on whether men pray or not. To us, it does not seem necessary to prove that the laws of nature are disturbed. God can work miracles, and he may work them yet again as he has done in times long past. However, it is no part of the Christian faith that God must work miracles in order to answer the prayers of his servants. When a man has to disarrange all his affairs and, so to speak, stop all his machinery in order to fulfill a promise, it proves that he is but a man and that his wisdom and power are limited. However, he is God indeed, who, without reversing the engine or removing a single cog from a wheel, fulfills the desires of his people as they come up before him. The Lord is so omnipotent that he can work results tantamount to miracles without in the slightest degree suspending any one of his laws. In olden times, he did as it were stop the machinery of the universe to answer a prayer. See Joshua 10:12-13. But now, with equally godlike glory, he orders events so as to answer believing prayers and yet suspends no natural law. But this is far from being our only or main comfort. Our main comfort is that we hear the voice of one who is competent to speak on the matter. And he says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Whether the laws of nature are reversible or irreversible, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Now, who is he that speaks this way? It is he who made all things, without whom was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. He cannot speak on this point. Eternal Word was in the beginning with God, balancing the clouds and fastening the foundations of the earth. You know what the laws and the unalterable constitutions of nature may be? If you say, ask and it shall be given you, then assuredly it will be so, be the laws of nature what they may. Besides, our Lord is the sustainer of all things. Spurgeon goes on further in the book from pages 13-16, explaining more of God's authority. And he also explains, so when we pray, we are producing links in the chain of ordained facts. Destiny decrees that I should pray. I pray. Destiny decrees that I will be answered. The answer comes to me. We, however, have a better answer than all this. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes forward and he says to us, my dear children, the decrees of God need not trouble you. There is nothing in them inconsistent with your prayers being heard. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. So I broke down summarizing the points, for those of us who may not have the book, and I recommend getting the book, especially to understand the podcast even more, even though I will be sharing different excerpts from it, getting it is just a big part of your spiritual exercise and understanding for yourself exactly what you're doing. So those pages that I was coming from was pages 13-16. And the points that we should come to understand about God's authority after reading is there's 5 points. And the first point is his declaration saying, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. That is the destroyer of our logic's doubt of, is this possible of what I'm praying for? He says, ask and it shall be given. This is a time for you to have proof in your testimony of God's authority, letting you know he has the authority to surpass what you have already seen as possible. Number 2 is because Jesus prayed, we know our prayers are real and important and being heard by God. God gives us overwhelming assurance, like of what a good parent gives to a child, that if you ask of him, he will give it unto you. And like with your parents providing for you, or your guardian who has constantly provided for you, God is no different. He is that provider. So we can believe in his authority and being like that parent figure and providing for your needs. Number three's point that we should come to understand is God fulfills the desires of his people as they come up before him. So that taking that action of coming up before him in the midst of your day, such a big thing. It's such a big thing. And he fulfills the desires of his people. Only his people will come before him. That is a part of acknowledging his authority and your need of him. The fourth point is when we pray, we are producing links in the chain of ordained facts. So come and understand that these prayers that you have, these thoughts that you have, these things that you're going through, this is really not your own. This is not you just at random coming up with these things. These are you having the moment to choose his will or your own, to pray and give it to him, or to try to reason within yourself and give it to nothing, or give it to yourself. Those are really our only two options in everything that we go through. So that your desire to have your dreams or something that you do need to pray about, your desire to be healed or someone in your family to be healed, that is something in you that's already ordained fact to be done. If you feel it will be done, pray on that. So we are producing that link, that chain of that fact that's already ordained. You feel it on the inside of you. And there's that fear that's saying, oh, maybe this can't be done. That's that moment to say, pray on the fact, or pray on the ordained fact, that link that shows you maybe it can be done. That maybe it can be done, stand on that. Because that's what brings us to the fifth point. When you petition in Jesus' name, a part of his authority clothes our prayers. And that is the belief that prayer offers us through him, that he must and will in that day. And so the analogy that I could give of that is that, like, if you're an athlete and you're playing in a game, you're playing in the game to win. You're not going in thinking about what could happen if you lost. You're thinking about what could happen if you were to win, what to strategize and do skill wise in the game to win. And so that is what we need to be doing in the midst of petitioning our prayer to the Lord, clothing it in Jesus's name, knowing that it's going up in his name with his blood, which is the signature on it, and believing that it will be done. So I'm going to do what it takes in my good health to do for the miracle. I'm believing in his grace for my dream, but I'm going to do what it takes to show that his will be done. And that's us doing our part. So now let's get into the why pray topic. Since we're on fire and understanding God's authority, he is the king. He is the one that our prayers are being received by, and our prayers being clothed in the name of Jesus, that they will be done. So we need to be doing the work to receive it, and bringing us to the topic, which is courage, having the courage to receive it. I want to begin the first episode with courage because I started my meditative practice with scripture, with courage in the Bible Promises book. I encourage you also to get the book of Bible Promises. Incorporating that into your life really helps, because you'll get specific scriptures that help you really know the word and how to apply it in your life. There's nothing like knowing it for yourself. So I recommend getting the Bible Promises book. I personally started with courage in order to combat spiritually the things that I was facing. I began meditating on these specific scriptures that are on courage. And first, it was understanding for me, I had to really look up in the thesaurus what courage really meant. And I had to be honest with myself and start identifying and taking the time to sit within myself on my lunch breaks and recognize what type of cowardly ways that I have, what kind of things was I trying to avoid in order to not have to be courageous, and how was I making myself feel like I was being courageous in certain areas when I really wasn't. So you have to take that time to really reflect and really understand what courage is, so that you can really go to the Lord in your repentance, in your honesty and sincerity, and knowing that you don't have it all together. and that you haven't been doing it all right, and that you need some help in this area. And what in this area do you need help in? So you do need to identify first within self, what is it that I'm not being honest with myself about? I was in fear, me personally, about my relationship staying strong because of the long distance. I was in fear about how personally my finances were going to pan out, how I was going to be able to invest in my art with the amount of money that I make from my job not in my mind being enough. I didn't know how to invest. I didn't know how to properly save. So how would I gain the courage to put some money aside and not think that I was not going to have enough for the next month? How was I going to have the courage to remain faithful in my relationship and go without being taken on dates and being hugged each day, and to believe in the future of the love that I would have, and to stay entrusted and courageous in my husband and in myself? So taking the risk would lead to a good outcome. How could I do those things? And in my everyday life, I would come about, when I would come about feeling scared about these things, when I would come to a place of feeling anxious and worried about the unknown, because I was constantly having to make faith steps. My relationship required me to make faith steps of what I could see in the future. I would have to stay, remain faithful and steadfast because of what would be to come on the other end. Though I'm not feeling it, touching it, experiencing it right now, how do I have the courage to face what I'm facing right now? Though I don't have the finances of seeing how the investment of my art will give me and reward and the outcome of what God is showing me, how do I take this little bit of what I have right now and put it to the side and invest in it? How do I gain the courage to do that? And I would use these scriptures that I'm going to share and break down to help us better understand what to feed our souls, because these scriptures will help us in the midst of our troubles. I have to use these scriptures each and every time I come about facing fear, because I'm trying to do some very courageous things with my life. I'm trying to really reach the destiny that Jesus has called according to his will for my life. So it's scary, and the moment that you start feeling that you got it is when you realize that you don't. And so these scriptures are what we need to help us feed our souls in these areas, when it comes to just finding the courage. Are you afraid of the unknown? Are you afraid of being picked on because maybe God has set you apart? He has you looking real different. He has you feeling real weird. He has you feeling like you're not a part of the group anymore. You know, are you afraid of what the future will be because of the past decisions that you made? You're afraid that you can't really be nothing but what your past was. Well, let's meditate in scripture upon those thoughts. The first thing first scripture that we're going to meditate on is Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you afraid of the unknown, or what may come? The outcome may come out to be for something that you're waiting for. Meditate on these words in your mind and in your heart with sincerity. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. The Lord is good. Be of good courage, which is good confidence to do what frightens you. We have the ability to do what frightens us. What looks like will not happen, we can be of good courage, that the Lord will give us strength in our hearts to let us just wait. Wait on the Lord. Let's not be afraid of what will happen. Inhale. Exhale. Let's just wait. The history behind this scripture is it was written by David, one of his many songs to the Lord, exalting God for being his light and savior throughout his life. David faced many physical and spiritual battles. He did many things that are considered abominations in the Word of God, and yet God still loved him. In this scripture, he gives the Lord a mighty praise for strengthening his heart while facing his enemies in battle, and praising the Lord for lifting him up above his enemies, and how he encourages his spirit in prayer to trust God and wait for God's direction in the midst of the battles to help save him from danger. Again, Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's just meditate on that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now our next scripture that we will meditate on is Psalms 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Are you afraid of what will happen to you? Are you being picked on or persecuted? Meditate on these words in your mind and heart with sincerity. The Lord loves justice. He is a judge that judges objectively with true authority and wisdom. He knows your heart and who you are. He protects you from hate and danger. Oh, thank you, Lord. We pray for our enemies, Lord, for they risk being cut off by you, Jesus, because of what they do to us. For the Lord loves judgment. His judgment. He loves his justice. And he will not forsake you, his saint. Inhale. Exhale. We are preserved. This scripture is another piece written by David about staying focused on the Lord and not being envious of people that do evil, nor afraid of them, though in the meantime they seem to be on top or defeating you. They truly are not. With confidence and assurance, David guides us in the scripture to be still and wait patiently for the Lord, because he will act, and also tells us how important it is not to be angry with those who harm us, that we should have compassion over the wicked due to the guaranteed outcome for their life due to their wicked actions. It is important to say with sincerity and pray for our enemies that the Lord may help them that risk their life being cut off because of what they do to us. For the Lord loves judgment, his justice, and he will not forsake his saints. Inhale. Exhale. I am preserved. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Now let's meditate on Isaiah 43:1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Are you afraid that your crazy, wicked past will hold you back from living a consistently good future? Meditate on these words in your mind and heart with sincerity. The Lord created you, and He says, do not be afraid. Whatever you are facing, do not be afraid of your past. It has no power over you. It cannot do any harm to you. God called you to do great things. He called you by name. You are His. What is His will grow. What is His will be good. And your past has no power. You can and will have a consistent good day. You can and will have consistent good days because you are His. Do not be afraid. The book of Isaiah is considered to be the Bible within the Bible. It is about the prophet Isaiah's prophecy when he had an encounter with God, and God told him how he would come in the form of man, which would be the Messiah Jesus, and how he would redeem his people, and also even how and why his wrath is not turned away from people. In this chapter, God shares His plans for us and His true feelings, which sounds much like a love letter, saying things such as, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you, and fear not, I am with you. This prophecy at the time was specifically for Israel, God's specific nation in the Old Testament that He had helped miraculously time and time again, but they had turned their backs on Him and worshipped false gods, and even still He loved them and told a prophet to let them know these things. God's love has not changed, and because of Jesus, this scripture is even more of a guarantee for our lives as believers. In the midst of worrying about how things will work out and being afraid that it will be like it has always been in the past, remember Isaiah 43:1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The fourth scripture we are meditating on is Philippians 4:12-13. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Are you afraid of the sickness in your body that you face, or afraid of getting sick? Are you afraid your bills won't get paid? Are you afraid of being poor or getting money, fame, and success and still feeling empty and lacking in purpose? Meditate on these words in your mind and heart with sincerity. To be abased is to feel low or to be in a considerably embarrassing state. And even in that darkness of hour, Christ will give you strength and help you do what you need to do to get through it, whether it is helping you keep strong for your transition into eternity or for healing you on earth while you're bound in this present moment. You can know how to be in this moment, how to be strong and gentle in the midst of your suffering, because it is Christ strengthening you right now. You feel like you only can get a little bit of money, and it is only enough to pay for what you need. You never have much left over. When you start feeling like you are not content, remember this scripture, that you know how to be abased, which is you know how to live with a little, because God instructs you on how to stretch it. How to shop with that little like it's a lot. How to get all your bills paid with that little and see all it took was a little to make a lot happen. And if he gives you a lot that you still need, the same guidance that helped you with the little, it is Christ that can give you strength and wisdom to know how to do all things you face, whether good or bad or the unknown. Inhale. Exhale. Saying, Christ, you meet all my needs. Inhale. Exhale. Saying, Christ, you meet all my needs. The history of this scripture is that Paul writes it as a letter to the early church, and in every age in this part of the Bible, he's writing to everyone. The point is to give Christian believers a practical outline on how to demonstrate unity and how, as a believer, the power in our faith lies in focusing our power in Christ's death and resurrection. And with that, knowing that all that we do as believers is owed to the grace and strength of God. So with knowing these realities, it helps to prevent boasting the flesh and glorifying God alone. So while facing the obstacles we face financially or even with health, it is about focusing on this reality and that God will lead you to the right doctor, to the right medication. Whatever need be, he will save you. He is helping you right now. Whatever bill needs to be paid or mouth that needs to be fed, he will instruct you how. Life goes up and down. Sometimes you have money and sometimes you don't. You want to know how to be content and peaceful no matter what. No matter how low your bank account is, to be able to know how I can get all the groceries I need regardless. And I do not have to think cheap. I will be able to get all that I want and need because God will provide and he will show me how to use the resources that are in front of me. And no matter how much is in my bank account or the luxury things that I have, or that I will receive, my worship will not be those things. They do not make me who I am. It is God that will show me how to be humble and how to give and how to know how to receive with humility. We will meditate upon Philippians 4, 12, and 13. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Again, Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In closing, let us pray. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your blood, for dying on the cross and resurrecting for us, Lord God, showing us that all that we have, all that we will receive is given from your grace. We just thank you, oh God. We thank you for your strength and the courage, Lord, to do what we need to do right now for your glory. Though it may look dark, Lord God, though it may look dim, we just thank you, Lord, for your strength that you're giving us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for paying each and every bill. We thank you, Lord God, for making sure that our finances are where they need to be, for fulfilling all that needs to be done. Make sure, Lord God, that we have what is according to your will, Lord. We want no more or no less, Lord, for we just want to stay and remaining instructed by you in the name of Jesus. For we know that if we have only a little, Lord, this is a moment for your testimony to know that we can be abased, Lord God, through you and look abound. For we know that even in our abundance, Lord God, if we are in abounding and we don't know what to do or what to glorify, that it is you, Lord God, that we will glorify in the midst of our abundance, that we will know how to give, Lord God, to your people while having your abundance, that we will know how to receive it and not let the spirit of depression, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, infiltrate our minds to make us feel, Lord God, bad for having anything that is given of you, Lord God. We just thank you in the name of Jesus for your blood. We thank you for your courage, Lord, to do what we fear. For you have not given us the spirit of fear. So we combat and we plead the blood and rebuke, Lord God, anything that comes up against us that is not of you. For we are your children, Lord. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, over our hearts, over our spirits, over our families, Lord. Give us the courage in this nation, in this world, while we're on this earth, Lord God, to just be of your glory, Lord, to be used by you. We thank you for the courage. In the name of Jesus, amen.